One of the world's most elite banks, helping you redo your kitchen? From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. Goldman Sachs is a giant on Wall Street. It serves corporations and elites, taking a pass on mundane stuff like checking accounts and ATMs for mere mortals. But now it's taking an unusual step in that direction, getting ready to offer loans to regular consumers. Nova Safo is here to explain. Nova, why is Goldman interested in normal humans?
Consumer loans, the unsecured kind like credit card debt, is big business in the hundreds of billions of dollars. And that business has been getting some new entrants lately in the form of tech companies. They're forgoing the traditional brick-and-mortar banking model and avoiding the costs associated with that. And they're making loans directly to consumers online. That's essentially what Goldman is reportedly now looking to get into, making loans of $15,000 to $20,000, perhaps, to individual consumers and small businesses. Goldman reportedly wants to target people with good credit, but with far less than the $10 million minimum that you have to have now in order to bank with a company. Banking regulation after the financial crisis has eaten away at some of the profits at investment banks, and this is seen as a way to perhaps almost double return on investment dollar for dollar.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading. That's the case in Europe, where there's plenty of anxiety to go around about Greece. Asian markets closed down. Zero is the number for the former AIG CEO Hank Greenberg. A judge ruled in his favor in his lawsuit, alleging the government overreached in its $85 billion bailout of the insurance giant. But that same judge said Greenberg wasn't entitled to a penny. The ruling still matters because it could limit what the government could do in a future financial crisis. Wall Street was down yesterday. The S&P lost 0.5%. The Dow closed down 0.6 to finish at 17,791. On Capitol Hill today, the Transportation Security Administration is on the hot seat for how it vets airport workers. This after an investigation found dozens of workers with terror ties passing background checks. Marketplace's Amy Scott looks at the TSA's troubles.
As a management professor at the Wharton School, Michael Youssim has watched corporate giants like GM and AIG turn themselves around. With the TSA, he says it'll take time.
Typically, if it's a big organization, this is one of America's biggest, obviously, it can take 6 months to a couple years.
And leadership is key. The TSA's acting director was reassigned after reports that in undercover checks, airport screeners failed to detect mock explosives and weapons 95% of the time. Jeff Price teaches aviation management at Metropolitan State University of Denver. He says the Obama administration's pick to lead the agency, the Coast Guard's Vice Commandant Peter Neffinger, seems like a good fit.
I think he's got a better handle on regulating a transportation system because, yes, we have to be safe, we have to be secure, but we also still have to move.
If confirmed, Price says, Neffinger should shift the TSA's focus from finding objects to identifying people with bad intent. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. This week, our sustainability desk is reporting on infrastructure, the pipes, roads, and power lines that make our lives possible and our economy strong. The problem is, nobody wants to pay when they're old and broken. Persuading the public to swallow higher fees and taxes is no easy feat, which frustrates the engineers and scientists worried about the consequences. Now they're trying something new. For our series, The Weak Link, Sarah Gardner reports on what happens when science turns to storytelling.
In Southern California, there are two things you can count on. The ground will, at some point, shake. And if it shakes enough, Lucy Jones will appear on TV. Jones is LA's go-to seismologist. Her first memory is a shaker outside Ventura, California.
I remember my mother getting us into the hallway and sort of crouching over us and protecting us and our Siamese cat screaming.
Jones is a scientist, but science, she says, is a foreign language to policymakers. When she needed to persuade LA's movers and shakers that the city's infrastructure was dangerously vulnerable to a major quake, she turned in part to storytelling.
It's 10 a.m. The largest earthquake to hit Southern California in modern times has just begun.
Some people react appropriately.
That's from an earthquake scenario that Jones and 300 other academics, business people, and government officials produced in 2008. It still inspires yearly earthquake drills. They used scientific and economic data to create a plausible story about Los Angeles after a 7.8 quake on the San Andreas Fault.
You know, we're not talking Armageddon here.
Earthquake engineer Keith Porter was one of Jones's collaborators.
And our philosophy was, if you plan for this particular earthquake, you'll be better prepared for the actual earthquake.
The so-called shakeout scenario starts 10 minutes before the quake and ends 6 months later. Buildings collapse, others burn, water and power fail, businesses shutter. This and the stories of other disasters, like Hurricane Katrina, were useful, Jones told scientists recently, in persuading civic leaders here to make seismic resiliency a priority. Though scientists are trained to ignore anecdotes.
The reality is that's how people communicate. And when we reject the stories, we are rejecting a lot of the ways in which we can connect to other people.
Duh, I'm still thinking about that Siamese cat screaming. Jones notes that San Francisco's earthquake story is one of near total destruction. Most of the city's buildings burned down in the 1906 quake. Modern Los Angeles, on the other hand, has the Northridge quake in 1994.
The city's story in LA is of resilience and recovery, and look how great we did. And so it's harder to believe that you have to make the difficult investments.
In Los Angeles, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. And in New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.